This Monday morning on Wake Up with Hope, we'll be making special holiday salads with the Good Food Kitchen. And we'll also premiere another inspiring segment on the importance of love for children.
And that's not all. Our friends from Voice of Prophecy will join us to share a devotional thought. Stay with us.
Happy Monday morning, and thank you for joining us this morning at Wake Up with Hope.
It's another great day on Wake Up with Hope. We are so excited to be waking up with you this beautiful morning and kicking off the week, sharing the hope and love of Jesus. It's a wonderful day, and of course, many around the world are celebrating the birth of Jesus today.
And here at Wake Up with Hope, we celebrate the hope of Jesus every single weekday morning together. And today is no different, so let's get started by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1914, shortly after midnight on Christmas morning during World War I, a remarkable event unfolded as the majority of German troops halted their gunfire and artillery and began singing Christmas carols. In some areas along the eastern and western fronts, soldiers from Russia, France, and Britain were able to hear the Germans' jubilant singing, with the added harmonies of brass bands joining in the festivities.
Can you imagine the joy and peace, friend? War stopped between two rivals because of the momentous event being celebrated around the world, the commemoration of the birth of our Savior. This is the power of the gospel. It brings peace, it brings unity and love to the hearts of those who accept it. And today, friends, how can you encourage someone else with the gospel? Share the good news of our salvation being made possible by our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and let that love shine in the hearts of others as it brings us together.
That's beautiful. I love that story. As the year wraps up, there's no better time to think about living our best life for the next year. Dr. David DeRose joins us this morning to share health news.
In the headlines today, exercise stimulates anti-cancer proteins, more noise pollution, more heart attacks, and ibuprofen in hypertension. People who exercise regularly have lower rates of cancer. For example, nearly 43,000 people are diagnosed with bowel cancer every year in the UK, and regular exercise decreases that risk by 20%. Researchers at Newcastle University in the UK set out to understand why. They found that physical activity causes the cancer-fighting protein interleukin-6 to be released into the bloodstream, and that helps repair the DNA of damaged cells. Any type or duration of exercise was beneficial, but more was always better. The researchers point out that it's not only bowel cancer risk that's reduced by exercise. Other studies have shown protection from other cancers, including breast cancer and uterine cancer. So whether it's a workout at the gym, playing sport, walking or biking to work, or work around the house like gardening or cleaning, try to build some physical activity into every day. High noise pollution makes us more likely to have a heart attack. A study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology found that areas with levels of transportation noise averaging 65 decibels or higher had a 72% higher rate of heart attacks than areas with noise levels of 50 decibels or lower. Researchers used data collected from over 16,000 people in New Jersey who had recently experienced a heart attack. The levels of noise in their areas were calculated using statistics from the state's Bureau of Transportation. Participants were sorted into two groups, those with noise levels over 65 decibels and those under 50 decibels. Generally speaking, the noise was intermittent, with loud noises coming after significant pauses, leading participants to become startled. Overall, researchers estimated that 5% of hospitalizations for heart attacks could be attributed to elevated noise levels. People taking diuretics and renin-angiotensin system inhibitors need to be careful when choosing a painkiller. Researchers at the University of Waterloo in Canada released a study on the impact of taking these blood pressure medications in combination with the common over-the-counter painkiller called ibuprofen. It's also marketed under a number of brand names, including Motrin and Advil. Modeling suggests that the combination of common blood pressure medications and ibuprofen can result in permanent kidney damage in certain individuals. So if you're on antihypertensives, talk to your doctor or pharmacist before choosing a painkiller. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
The Good Food Kitchen is back, and in the kitchen this morning, putting together special salads you and your loved ones are sure to enjoy.
Today, I want to share with you some delicious, colorful, flavor and vibrant salads from my cafe. And from Revive Cafe Cookbook number 6, fig and quinoa salad with orange ginger dressing and a lovely broccoli and cranberry salad. And these are perfect for the Christmas table. And the best part is that they are very, very quick to make. So we're going to start with the quinoa salad. We're going to put some quinoa on the stove. So quinoa is one of the best grains you can use. And the best part about quinoa is it's whole grain and it's very, very quick. Basically half a cup of quinoa to 1 cup of boiling water. So lid on, once it comes to the boil, 12 minutes and quinoa is ready. So while that quinoa is cooking, we're just going to just chop some cubes of avocado and just dice it up. Nice big chunks. We're just going to throw everything into this bowl, and when we're finished, there'll be a salad ready to go. Add about half a cup of raw onion. Basically, just chop it as fine as you possibly can. Now, figs are a really delicious ingredient for salads, and you can get them kind of moist like this. We're just going to slice through these wonderful figs. Look at that beautiful texture there. Meanwhile, the quinoa, as you can see, is boiling, so we're just going to turn that down to very low, and that will take around about 12 minutes to cook. We're going to throw an orange in. We're just going to chop it into cubes. And mint. Mint just adds such an amazing flavour to many dishes, so a good handful of mint. Just the smell of this is just delicious. We want to make sure we're just slicing through and getting really, really thin. Make sure you slice through the stalk. You don't want big chunks of mint in your throat. So there we have all the ingredients for the salad. We're just going to wait for the quinoa and we're going to add that shortly. So we're now going to whip up a really lovely ginger dressing to go with the salad. So we're going to use some ginger paste. So 1 tablespoon of this lovely stuff. We're going to add in some orange. So we're going to squeeze an orange into here as well. The orange and ginger goes together really well. And add a bit of honey, a bit of olive oil, just to tell you it's a dressing. And just a touch of salt. We don't need a blend or anything like that, just mix it around. And it's a very simple, beautiful dressing. And now let's start with our second salad, and this is the broccoli one. So we're gonna use raw broccoli. Don't be too scared, raw broccoli can taste good. We're just gonna chop it into very, very small pieces and coat it with a delicious dressing. And that will mean this broccoli will be quite edible. Because by itself, raw broccoli is not the most pleasant thing to eat. And because you've got the green of the broccoli and the red of the cranberry, it makes it nice and Christmassy. So we're gonna throw this into a bowl. We're gonna add some lovely red cranberries. Them in as well, so put in about a couple of cranberries. Look at that wonderful contrast in colour, and colour is probably the main ingredient of any awesome salad. Lots of different contrasting colours. And we're going to add some onions, so we'll add the onion that we had from the other salad. So around about half a cup. Now we're going to make a lovely tahini dressing. So tahini is made from sesame seeds. And it's kind of like peanut butter with a bit of difference. 3 tablespoons of tahini. And this is a great base for any salad dressing you want. And we want to make sure we've got some bitterness there, so we're going to add some lemon juice in. So 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and some crushed garlic. And then we're just going to just stir this up. It may look like it's not turning into a dressing, but just give it a few minutes. And eventually it will turn into it. And just keep adding water until it achieves the nice dressing consistency. So we're just gonna mix that through the salad. So give it a good stir up. Then just grab a nice dish and then pour it in. I mean, how easy is that salad to make? And as you can see with those beautiful colours, it'll look fantastic on Christmas Day. So all we have to do now is finish the quinoa salad. So the quinoa is pretty much cooked now. And as you can see, if I look in here, there's no moisture left. So we're just going to spoon that in to the salad, just like that. Pour over this wonderful dressing that we did with all the ginger. Stir it up. This is the best part of salad making. And there in an instant, you've got a beautiful salad. Pour into the serving bowl. And there are two amazing, delicious Christmas salads for your table. And how easy were they? Plant-based, healthy, and full of delicious flavours and colour. Enjoy them for your Christmas.
What is love and why is it so important in our parenting journeys? Listen in as The Parenting Place explains what love does for our kids.
Our belly button is a lovely reminder of the time when we were literally attached to our mums. We were warm, safe, and comfortable. Everything we needed just came whizzing down that umbilical cord. And then it happened. Childbirth. I can't even imagine. It would have been traumatic. Actually, it was so traumatic for me that it rendered me speechless for an entire year. Anyway, let's move on from belly buttons. Fortunately, after birth, something replaces that umbilical cord. A new cord. Something stronger. Something that can last a lifetime. A cord of reliable, responsive love. Our babies learn that when they have a need for food or comfort or a cuddle, there is someone there for them. When they feel that need, their stress might go up a little, so they tug on that cord, usually by crying, and then mom or some other reliable caregiver will meet that need, and their stress will go back down. It's a little dance back and forth. And that's how a child feels secure and safe. As they grow, that dance widens out a little bit, and that cord stretches. It attaches to other carers as well. But it should never break. In the same way that you make a rope stronger by winding in extra strands, you create stronger attachment by weaving extra strands into the cord of love. Extra ways of showing your love. I might already be great at showing my love through words, but maybe I need to add an extra strand of closeness. I could make it even stronger with a thread of time together, and also weave in doing some things with my child. The threads of love can come from words, my eyes, my hands, my pocket. It can even come from my kitchen. Remember what this cord of love is for. It's not to tie our kids down or limit them. It can hold us tight together when we need to be tight, but it can also be loosened and let out when our kids need a bit more independence. They can move off into their own adventures, and if that cord is strong, they'll still hold on tight, you know, to get them up or pull them through something. But ultimately, that cord is always there and it always keeps them connected. So my belly button reminds me of my first vital attachment, and it reminds me of how much my kids need to be vitally connected to me.
Are you enjoying today's program? Well, inspire someone else and share us with a friend. Or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content.
And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up With Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. Right now, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
Morning, honey. How did you sleep?
Oh, not very well. I need a caffeine fix.
Didn't those sleeping pills work?
Oh, not at all. I had this vivid dream that really scared me.
Scared you?
Yes, this voice kept shouting at me, "Someone's trying to kill you, someone's trying to kill you."
Who could be trying to kill you?
I don't know, but I don't have time to think about it right now.
Oh, really? Well, what time are you heading out to work? Oh, yes,
is that my boss?
He's just here. Just a moment.
Tell him I'm not here.
You have to take it.
Okay. okay, yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah, I told you I'll be there in 20 minutes. Okay. All right. Man, I don't know who's trying to kill me, but this stress is just too much for
me. Why, what have you got on today?
Oh, I've got those 6 meetings this afternoon and 4 deadlines this morning. Oh, and by the way, I won't be home for dinner tonight because I've... Hey, where are my cigarettes and my lighter?
Here. Well, what do you mean you're not going to be home? I was going to do steak and eggs for dinner and nice cheesecake for dessert.
Don't worry.
What are you going to eat?
Oh, I'll go buy McFast food. I get a burger and fries and a Coke. And hey, while I'm there, maybe I'll try to figure out who's trying to kill me.
But you're so tense. I'm worried. I hate to think what your blood pressure is with all this stress.
Don't worry. I'll have my stiff drinks this afternoon. I'll take my antidepressants. And hey, you know what? Those things will probably calm me down enough. I'll be able to try to figure out who's trying to kill me.
I hope you're going to take some sleepers tonight to sleep.
I will.
Okay. Don't live like this or you'll die like this. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We pray your day is starting off wonderfully as you consider the love and peace found in Jesus.
And now we have our friends from the Voice of Prophecy sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Have you tried one of the latest programs to lose weight? It's called IF, or intermittent fasting. Now, the idea is to abstain from food for a set number of hours in order to give the body a chance to rest and recover. There's no one-size-fits-all way to intermittent fast. Some people have their last meal by 6 p.m. and wake up to a healthy breakfast at 6 a.m. That's a 12-hour fast. Others define a window of time in which they eat, say noon until 4 p.m., which means they're fasting the other 20 hours of the day. There are other variations, but it all comes down to this principle. Fasting is a rest period between meals, which allows the body to tap into its stored fuel reserves. The result? Weight loss. Now, fasting, as popular as it is at the moment, is far from a new concept. Abstaining from food for set periods of time has been part of every culture. Historically, some people chose to fast, and others fasted out of necessity due to famine, food scarcity, or illness. And we read about fasting in the Bible. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he began his public ministry. And Moses? Well, he fasted for 40 days before God gave him the tablets containing the 10 commandments. Theirs were long fasts, and they began under very special circumstances. And Jesus and Moses weren't the only ones to fast. Daniel fasted when he was in Babylon more than once. Esther instructed her people to fast when they heard the news that Haman had convinced the king to pass a decree to kill her people. And even King Ahab fasted and humbled himself before God. Examples of fasting are all through the scriptures. Now, fasting in the Bible usually occurs in a spiritual context. Nehemiah, for example, when he heard the news of the state of the city of Jerusalem, he wept, he mourned, and he fasted. He fasted and prayed to God, seeking his intervention for Jerusalem. Fasting for Nehemiah, and in most other examples in Scripture, was combined with prayer, petition, and mourning. Fasting was a part of a spiritual experience. We see that again in Ezra, where the people of God were returning to Jerusalem. As they traveled, they stopped at a river. There, Ezra declared a fast. The group humbled themselves and prayed for a safe journey for their children, themselves, and all of their goods. They fasted and they talked to God, and Ezra records for us that God heard our entreaty. And so, there in broad strokes is fasting in Scripture. It's a time of abstaining from food in order to seek God and His will. And so fasting, from a biblical perspective, isn't about our physical health. It's about our spiritual condition. It's not about losing physical weight. Fasting in the Bible is about losing the weight of the world, worry, grief, fears, and giving them over to God's care. It's about the state of our heart or our psychological condition. You know, the little book of Joel, the minor prophet, describes it beautifully. Let's read it together. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You know, here the prophet Joel appeals to the wayward Israelites to turn back to God. The prophet shares what God told him. Return to me with all your heart. Turn back to the God who loves you with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend or tear at your heart, not your garments. In other words, this experience wasn't to be an outward sign of mourning. Turning back to God meant truly tearing at their hearts, having a heart change and a conversion experience. Joel reminded the people of just why such a heart change was worthwhile. God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You know, all of that was true for the Israelites, and it's true for us today, too. Perhaps you've heard friends and family rave about the benefits of intermittent fasting. Maybe you've tried it yourself. It can be beneficial to the physical body. I fast regularly, and I feel significantly better when fasting is a part of my weekly routine. The physical benefits are measurable. Yet none of us are merely physical creatures, are we? Our greatest need is not to lose the weight around our middles, but to lose the weight that we carry around on our shoulders. And turning to God, tearing our hearts, as Joel described, is how we find relief from that kind of weight. Well, right now, you might feel burdened by financial, relational, or physical challenges. You know, God wants to hear about them. He wants us to pray and talk to Him. He can lift those burdens for us and lighten our loads. If you're struggling with a particularly weighty issue, spiritually speaking, why not try fasting? Set aside time each day or each week that's dedicated to talking to God in a fasted state. When our bodies aren't busy digesting our food, there's energy for other things, and you may experience your mind feeling clearer and lighter. Your conversations with God may be deeper and more meaningful. Well, interested in losing the weight of the world? You'll be in good company if you try fasting. Moses, Jesus, Esther, Nehemiah, Daniel, and others made it a part of their spiritual practice. Those are some weighty endorsements. Well, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Lord, we begin this Monday morning with you, and some of us are bringing heavy burdens into this new week. Father, thank you that we can talk to you and that, as Ezra reminded us, you listen and you hear our petitions. Lord, we long to lose the heaviness of these burdens. We yearn to feel peace and lightness in our lives again. And Father, most of all, we long to draw closer to you, to feel your presence in our lives and to turn our hearts back to you. Lord, go with us this new week. Amen. Well, fasting for weight loss, it works well for many people. The physical results are measurable, smaller middles and chins and more energy to go about our days. The spiritual effects of fasting and prayer are measurable too. We hand over the heaviness in our hearts to Jesus, and He carries it for us. No matter the number on the scale, that's the kind of weight loss that makes a difference for eternity. Trust Him today. He is good. Well, we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. And whatever this new week has in store for you, there may be heavy burdens in it. But never fear, you can have hope, hope in the midst of it. Invite God to go with you every step of the way. Thanks for joining me for a few minutes in God's Word, Words of Hope.
We appreciated that devotional thought.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us today and watching Wake Up With Hope.
Please join us tomorrow as Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional. We will have a dedicated prayer session, health tips, and more.
And if you enjoyed today's messages and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Our free Bible studies are sure to be life-changing. Again, that's hope.study.
And we'd love to conclude our program by sharing a Bible promise with you. And this one is found in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57.
It says, "May the Lord our God be with you as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us."
What a promise. You know, he promises to be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us. That's an amazing promise.
Indeed it is. And it's a blessing for us to start our day with. So we pray that you enjoyed your time with us today. And we wish you a happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, how thankful we are that as we remember the birth of a Savior, that we can welcome you to be born in our hearts today. Fill us with hope, Lord. You are the hope of the world. And we're so thankful that you could be in the center of our lives, in the center of our family, in the center of our homes. Lead us, Lord, with joy today. In Jesus' name, amen.